Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Game Changers on 101.5 UMFM.
On the radio.
We are on the radio, and we're online. We update every Wednesday evening around 6 o'clock.
Nice.
If you want to listen to our episode from earlier that day or for all the past months.
Excellent.
Yes. I'm Megan.
And I'm Alice.
And we talk about video games on this show here. Because we collect video games, we play video games, we complain about video games, we praise video games.
Video games.
And yes, we have been playing a fair amount of video games over the past week. What have you been playing?
The bunch of stuff.
Bunch of stuff?
Well, yeah, I have, yeah.
Well, last week I spoiled myself and picked up Scott Pilgrim vs. the World, since that finally came out for things other than PlayStation 3 and Xbox.
Well, it wasn't available.
That's, for a long time. Yeah, there were some licensing issues, but that's initially where it came out.
Yeah, no, exactly, yeah. But it wasn't available for years.
Not since the distant days of 2010.
Yeah.
So, yes, this is an older game. We're going back to 2010. It was released around the time of the Scott Pilgrim movie, which you and I saw in theaters.
Uh-huh.
And it is based off the graphic novel series Scott Pilgrim by Brian Lee O'Malley, a Canadian. And that's the cool thing about this game, is it takes place in snowy Toronto.
Yeah.
It's actually a lot of fun. This game is based off of, well, the gameplay is very similar to River City Ransom, an old Nintendo title, and it is a beat-em-up. You go through stages, and you beat up all the bad guys that come your way. It's a very cute play style. It's very bright, it's very cartoony, and has a lot of different parts of Toronto mixed in with the scene, the setting.
Like what?
I just know that Toronto people have been pointing out there's a lot of coffee shops, bookshops, and the Toronto transit system.
Okay. I'm just like, you say that there is, and no, then you like, don't give me examples.
I can't give you examples because we don't live in Toronto. It's just the feedback from people who live in Toronto are like, oh my gosh, this looks like downtown Toronto.
Okay.
So the music is done by Anna Monoguchi. They are a chiptunes band, and a lot of the music they make is very reminiscent of old NES games, Super NES games, and I like them a lot. They're very, very catchy, and they did a very good job on this game.
Hmm.
It's got a very good vintage feel, and you've been playing with me a little bit.
Yeah, I played a little bit.
That's the cool thing about this game is you can have up to four other players.
Yeah.
You can... the edition that they've put out now actually gives you the two DLC characters from 2010, which was Knives and Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And each character, you get up to six characters. You can play as Scott, Ramona, Knives, Kim, Wallace, and Stephen Stills. So what do you remember of the story of Scott Pilgrim?
I remember the whole thing, but I think you should tell me.
Okay, well put. So this game follows very closely to the movie, and it is about Scott finding love with Ramona and having to go and defeat her seven exes. And it follows just like, the levels follow just like in the movie and the books. So the first one is you are going against Ramona's first ex-boyfriend, Matthew Patel, and his demon hipster girls.
Yeah.
That was very much a thing back in 2010. It is very challenging gameplay. We haven't gotten to the end yet, but I know each character gets their own unique ending, depending on who you play the most. But if you play the four main characters, Scott, Steven, Kim, and Ramona, you can unlock, spoiler, you can unlock Mega Scott.
Oh, yeah.
So it is... It follows very loosely, I think. Like, you don't get very explicit plot points.
No, it's not... It doesn't tell you. Like, it doesn't really explain. I think, like, there's a part of this game that feels very supplemental. Like, it is a full-fledged game, and it's fully... It's a very arcade game, right?
It is, and I think that's why I love it a lot, because it would feel very much at home on a cabinet in an arcade. And it's just got that really good feel. As you go along, you build up experience, and you can level up your moves, gain new moves, and use any random objects in the level to fight back against this wave of baddies. And it's... I'm really enjoying it, despite how difficult it is. Because it wasn't until you started playing with me that we got to the third level. And I had spent a couple solid nights just chipping away at this game. You can go and get different items that will give you more experience points. You've got a health system, a special move system. And you can summon other side characters to either stun enemies, provide health, or knock enemies back. It's, I definitely recommend this game to anyone who's looking for a very solid beat-em-up style game that has a lot of references to other older games. I'm seeing a lot of little Zelda references, there's some Kirby references where at the end of a level, Kim will go away on a Kirby star.
Yeah, well, isn't undoubtedly, though, like, I'm almost 100% sure in the comics there's, like,
there's
references
so many
to everything. Like, the Scott Pilgrim series is very nerdy, right?
It is.
Like, it's nice. I enjoy it. Like, there are certain things that are obviously not amazing about it, but on the whole, like, it was a decent series. I liked it.
For a movie tie-in, this is pretty well done.
Yeah.
Like, most movie tie-ins don't quite get the same run as this one does. Don't get brought back. Like, do you remember the Mad Max game?
Yeah, but I'm saying this was, like, brought back. This was taken away. Like, it went away because we just got bored of it. It literally went away because, like, nobody could have it. Like, that's I feel that those are different things.
Popular enough that people wanted it back, and it does have a limited run physical copy out now,
too. Yeah, well, yeah.
So the pixel art animation were done by Paul Robertson, who has credits in Pixels, the movie.
Oh.
Rick and Morty. Gravity Falls from Seuss and the Real Girl. The Simpsons. And he's got a lot more going on, but those are the four top ones that I could find from him. And he did a really good job. This is really good pixel art.
Yeah, like, I know exactly who you're talking about. Like, once again, you can say it's good, but we use visual medium.
It's a visual medium on a vocal. Yeah,
yeah.
But we're doing what we can to describe this.
You're doing what you can.
I'm doing what I can to describe this very good game, in my opinion. This is a fun supplemental thing if you really enjoyed the comic books, and if you are like me, I really enjoyed the movie. It's definitely one of my favorites. And it does give a warning that Scott is not really a good boyfriend, like in the very first scene. And my last point, as far as Easter eggs go, do you remember the very beginning of the movie? They had the pixelated 8-bit Universal Studios.
Yep.
In this one, they have the live-action one. They flipped it over.
Oh, that's cute.
It's very cute.
That's smart.
It's a good joke. It's a very good joke.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you say you've been playing a bunch of games.
Well, I beat a game.
What game did you beat?
The Sinking City. And whereas I liked it more than Call of Cthulhu, I don't know how I feel about it in terms of story. Especially considering, a Lovecraftian, you do hinge a lot of thing on story,
yeah,
right? Like, there's an amount of, like, you need it to have some kind of, you know, and it wasn't bad. It had some of that. I would say, I think the thing about The Sinking City that, like, makes it a superior Call of Cthulhu game versus Call of Cthulhu.
Right.
Is that the world that they've created is way more, like, I don't want to say believable, but it is way more fleshed out. Like, this is, it's kind of a town that's, like, half underwater, and it's just, like, half mostly destroyed. Like, it's just, like, I'm like, people wouldn't live like this. But obviously, in spooky Lovecraftian times, of course they would. I think there's a lot of interesting things in this game. Like, there's sort of, like, the KKK showed up, and I got to kill a bunch of KKK, which was awesome. There's, like, a bunch of stuff in this game that is just, like, it doesn't feel random, but at the same time, it doesn't necessarily feel cohesive.
Right.
Whereas I feel the rest of the world is more interesting, and I want to know more about, like, the people walking on the streets. You know, I wish there was a little more NPC interaction, like, with the different characters. Like, there's a little bit with certain characters that, you know, give you quests and stuff.
Right.
But I feel you're not allowed to just sort of interact with random people. Like, I will say one thing I did find interesting is, like, people there do not like their pictures taken. And I have a camera, and I will, you know, like, it's interesting, but...
Well, do you find any strange Lovecraftian critters by taking pictures?
No.
Oh. That would have been a neat game mechanic.
Yeah, but we already got, like, Fatal Frame. Like, I will say, the other thing in this game is, obviously, the Lovecraftian creatures are, they're great. They're very creepy. There's ones that are non-threatening that just sort of walk, like, they're just sort of, like, squirrels or rats in a game, right?
Right.
Squirrels. Yeah, but sometimes
shrimp
squirrels.
Cats.
Yeah, they're once again, I've explained that they're terrifying and gross. But they're, it's very good. Like, it's visually everything I think this would be, right?
Right.
Just the story is kind of like, I don't know what happened. It's one of those games where it's like you get different choices. And I don't necessarily know if the choices matter, and that's, you know, that's fine, but at the same time, I don't know if I want to be given choices if my choices don't matter kind of thing.
Yeah, if you're going to do a choose-your-own-adventure sort of situation, you've got to have, like, a good ending point of that adventure.
There's parts of this game that I, like, and parts of that specifically, I will forgive because it is an amount of, like, I come to my own deductions based on the evidence that I've given, and I'm sort of given two choices usually. Like, and neither of them are very good. Like, neither of them are, like, good. It's usually kill this person or kill this person. Like, it is 100% that. But, like, there's some fun things. Like, there's some interest. Like, I got to, like, frame a guy for a murder.
Which is always fun.
Isn't fun, but, like, at the same time, the guy actually wasn't dead. So, there are little things about this that are genuinely fun. There's a lot in the game that I think they probably could have shaved off, like, half of the weapons I had because they were irrelevant. You just sort of get more weapons for completing quests, and it's not like it matters a lot. And they're like, bullets are a form of currency in this game, but at the same time, I can't pay for anything. Like, personally, I can't pay for anything. People can give me bullets and stuff for the, you know, for me doing one of the things they asked me to do, but I can't get, you know, I can't give people money. Sometimes they, you know, like, there will be people in the street asking for it. There are a lot of just, like, random characters walking around, and that, it does flesh it out, but, yeah, I'm not going to remember this game that much, other than, like, I enjoyed the gameplay. Story-wise, I don't care that much.
We're going to hope that the studio owes, there's two of them that...
Yeah, Frogware and Big Ben. Hopefully they come to some sort of agreement. I know it's back on. Like, you know, you can wish list it on Steam, but you can't buy it, right? Like, it's there at least. So, and then the next game I played, I haven't quote unquote beat it, is Hades by Supergiant Games, which, how do I, like, I will say there will be some spoilers. Like, I'll probably mention before, and it mostly pertains to, like, quote-unquote beating the game, quote-unquote. Because technically in this game you have to beat the end boss 10 times before you get, like, the ending.
That's really brutal.
Yeah, In a way.
What's your count at now?
I beat him twice.
You're getting there.
I am. Like, and the thing is, like, it, you know, it's about every, like, at this rate, it's about every 15 runs, I have one where I beat him. And that's fine. Like, the and here, well, like, before we get into, because we're getting ahead of ourselves. Hades is a game by Supergiant Games, who also has done Bastion, Transistor, Pyre.
Which I've begun Bastion.
Yeah. Hades is a roguelike action, somewhat role-playing game, where you take on, you are Zagreus, who is the son of Hades, and you are trying to escape from hell. Like, you're trying to get out, because you don't, you, like, it's obvious, sort of, like, why, but, you know, you don't want to be here anymore, but everybody else is like, you gotta stay. You can't leave. You know, you just can't.
But your dad's mean to you.
Your dad is mean to you. You know, he's a bit of a liar. There are, like, you know, like, I would say, here's the thing. After you, it's not even, as you play the game, more plot comes out. So it doesn't matter. The main part of the game is you are going through these different layers of hell. You start at Tartarus, you go to Asphodel, and then you go to Elysium. And then you end at, like, the Styx Tower or something. And each time you play the game, it's different, right? So, and in terms of, that's where the roguelike component comes in. So, and they pull this off as, like, the shifting layers of, you know, Tartarus. The rooms always move, right. Which is fine.
Which is nifty.
Yeah. Well, it's a great little excuse to be like, this is why it changes. It does that because it does. The thing is, so you have, like, I think about 6 weapons that you can choose from. I would assume at one point there's going to be DLC for more. Just based on this game, and I think it could be beefier. Like, that's the thing. I know they're probably working on things, and people would absolutely appreciate more. Like, people love this game, and with good reason. So, every sort of level or room, there will be things to fight, and at the end of it, you get sort of a reward. Sometimes it'll be, they're called boons from the gods, so there's the gods of Olympus, because obviously this is a Greek mythological game. Right?
Right.
So, different character, different gods will give you different powers. So, Aphrodite will give you the power to, like, cause things to be weak so that when they attack you, it hurts less. Ares will inflict doom, which causes, like, pain and then more pain later.
Right.
You know, Zeus, obviously, thunder, like, you know, yeah, right?
Yeah, pretty straightforward.
Like, yeah, you know, but then there's, you know, there's Athena, there's Artemis, Dionysus,
Hermes,
and I think that's about it. So, oh, and Demeter is there as well. She just showed up. She shows up after you beat the game for the first time. And when I say beat the game, so slight spoilers, it is obviously about the last boss is your dad.
Right,
obviously,
yeah.
Like, I don't think anybody didn't realize that when it's called Hades and it's sort of like, obviously. But the thing is, once you beat him, you go to see the person. So, slight spoilers, but this will be revealed fairly soon within the gameplay, but you want to escape because your dad lied to you about who your mother was. For those of us who know Greek mythology, we will know that his mom is Persephone, or the Hades' wife or whatever is Persephone.
Right.
Up until that point, your character believed that Nyx, the goddess of
Night,
yeah, is your mom. She also played along with this just because, I don't know, she thought it would be better for little baby, but
some better adjustment for a small child.
Yeah. So Zagreus is mad about this, so he's like, I want to go see my mom. So this is his impetus for, you know, going through this, trying to escape. But what happens is we realize that Zagreus can't stay on Earth. So even if you can beat Hades, he will go see Persephone, and meet her and that stuff, but Zagreus can't stay there, so inevitably he will die. So it's a very interesting game because obviously the point of the game is to die, Like, you have to die.
Yeah.
To progress any story, to get anywhere, to get new weapons or more weapons, or to upgrade.
This makes me want to play Minute again.
It's kind of like that in a way, because there is, like, I would say, depending on how you do in your run, I would say my runs are around 30 minutes. Like, and the shortest one I had was 30 minutes to beat Hades. The longest one I had was about 40 minutes. So,
right, yeah.
Like, if you can get there, it varies. I've been pretty successful with getting to Hades several times. I do believe it is a little bit of a matter of, like, luck of which boons you will get and which sort of... Because there's also, like, everything in the dungeon you don't get to keep at the end, right? So you don't... Except for certain objects. There's some purple gems that are upgrades. There's keys that are upgrades. There's... nectar, which is a thing that you can use to get more friendship points with all the characters. Like, there's literally I want to say around 15 different characters that you can sort of learn about, talk with, gain friendship with. And one of the coolest parts of this game is that there is so much dialogue, and it will change based on what boons you've taken from certain characters. Like, the Olympian gods will sort of, like, they'll make comments on, oh, you took my brother's boon, or, oh, you took my son's, you know, like, they will comment on what you have in your inventory kind of thing.
They're rather catty, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, well, and that's, if you know Olympian gods, like, this, it feels very on brand. Like, they're there because they want to help you get to Olympus, but Zagreus, obviously, he doesn't really care about going to Olympus. He wants to go see his mom, who isn't in Olympus, but the Olympian gods are there to try to, they're there for their own reason, and Zagreus is there for his own reason, right? And there's also, like, a million side characters. So there's the gods, right? But then there's, like, Achilles. So Achilles is a warrior from Greek mythology. He was impervious except for one part on his Achilles heel, which that's how he died.
His mom dipped him in a river, made him impervious to damage, and
but dipped him by that heel. So
you can't dip the entire baby.
Yeah, right. You'd lose the baby. So, so Achilles is here. There's also a really cute little Gorgon maid. Her name's Dusa. There's your dog Cerberus, obviously, and of course you can pet the dog, right? Like, very important.
The Hades developers did regret that you could not pet every head,
just the one. Yeah, there is, like, a lot in this game. So, like, obviously there's the roguelike dungeon aspect, but then you have sort of this whole area where you come back to, where you can use, like, you get gems to renovate the house and add things. And there are things that, as you renovate, more story comes along. Like, for example, Orpheus, you can free him from jail because he's there. I don't know why he's there. Hades put him there. He got mad, of course. Orpheus and Eurydice. So there's another myth involving them. I'm not going to explain it, but look it up. But she is also a character. Eurydice is a character, but there's a couple characters that you can only find in the different levels, right? So in the first one in Tartarus, Sisyphus is there, so the guy who continually pushes up a boulder, right?
His crime was giving people fire.
You're thinking of Prometheus.
Oh, yeah, Sisyphus did other crimes, so now he's got to push a rock.
Yeah, he pushes a rock up forever. Sisyphus is there, in Asphodel, Eurydice is there, and in Elysium, Patrocles is there. These characters are neat because they absolutely give you sort of more plot, more story. Like, they're absolutely related or relevant to, like, characters within sort of the Hades household. And they also give you, like, really good power-ups. The main thing, though, is that you might not always encounter them on one of your runs. Like, there are... If you see, it's like a little exclamation point with gems around it. That's how you know when those characters are there in the level. But, yeah. The gameplay is great. Like, it's fun. It's fast-paced. It does take a little get used to, but it's like, I really enjoyed it. It was a game that I kept on, like, itching to go back to because it's just, like, the gameplay is a lot of fun. Once again, you get to choose 6 different weapons that have very different play styles. I really like the spear, but I've also been playing with, like, the arrow, bow and arrow.
I know when I play it, I'm probably going to default just to sword.
Yeah, well, the sword is not bad. I've been trying the shield. I think there's an amount of, like, I think they obviously want you to be able to beat the game with every weapon, so it's just a matter of finding sort of the right boons, because there's an amount of, you know, after you've played the game a couple times, you can sort of try to seek out things that you know will make the game easier for you, you know, make your run easier. But yeah, I think it's absolutely a really fantastic game. Like, I feel this is already known, but it was nominated for Game of the Year.
It won Indie Game of the Year.
Yeah, well, it was nominated but for Game of the Year along with, like, Ghost of Tsushima and the other one.
Last of Us.
Yeah, and then, you know, not the... Yeah. But I think it's also a game that was made with no crunch, which is really a testament to it. I didn't even talk about the music or the art. Like, the Hades is really, like, the whole package, because it is not only really fun, it has a very interesting story that, like, it makes you want to continue to play the game so you get more story, but also you want to play the game because the game is fun. But, like, yeah, the art is great, the music is always fantastic. Like, Darren Korb, I love the Bastion soundtrack so much, it's one of my favorite soundtracks. This one is great, like, there's beautiful music. Yeah, it's more rock, but it feels very on brand with what you're, like, with what you're doing, right?
Right.
Yeah.
I always have that Karen Shop theme song just playing through my head on occasion, and I don't even play the game.
Yeah.
So I think I'm going to try playing some horror games later this week, but if that fails, I'm going to go back to Hitman, because Hitman 3 just came out. And
didn't you beat Hitman?
I beat Hitman 2. Oh. I didn't beat Hitman 1.
Oh, I don't think Hitman 1's supposed to be very good, Megan, comparatively.
I still think I'm going to give it a try, because I'm really thinking I want to get Hitman 3, because I had so much fun with Hitman 2. And you can upload your maps that you got in the first two games to the third one.
Okay.
So I'm going to try both genres of games that I'm not good at, and I'm going to play them. A scary game and a stealth game.
Yeah.
And, yeah, that's about all I've got planned for my video gaming coming up. Did you play any other games over the week? Did you dip your toes in anything else?
No.
No?
I bought a game, I feel. I don't remember which one, but I definitely... Oh... I guess Resident Evil Village is a thing. Like, we're excited
right.
about... I'm excited... legitimately about that, actually. Well, obviously, once again, and this is what I've been saying to everybody. There is, like, a $220 version of Resident Evil Village. Like, you know, like, fancy package. Comes with a statue of Chris. Chris isn't the main character of this game, first off. Second of all, do you know how many more they would sell if it had been of the big vampire lady? Like... way more. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, like, please, you can Google it. But sincerely, looks intriguing. I'm very excited. A demo came out. We'll probably play it when it comes out for things that we have.
Yes.
Not PlayStation 5, because okay. we don't have it.
Make that two scary games I'm going to play at some point.
There we go.
And one stealth game.
Yeah.
All right, everybody, go check out Resident Evil. Some people have been showing off the demo, but the trailers are very cool, and that's everything we got for you for this week. Keep changing.
Bye.